When you think of your wounds, there's probably a face that comes to your mind straight away. And you say, he's my problem. She's my problem. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. The primary struggle in your life is not with a person. It is with the activity of your enemy through that person.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we continue our message, taking a look at the life of Absalom and his father, King David, and this whole issue of dealing with conflict.
It's huge, isn't it? And what an awful thing it is. You find yourself in a conflict that you wish never was, and your stomach is churning. And for David, it must have been so awful because it was a conflict in the family, conflict with his own son. The greatest king of Israel was not able to make peace with his own son. He would have loved to have done it, and he couldn't. It was beyond the range of what he could do. So the agonies of this are churning within David's soul. And this speaks right into our world today, doesn't it? Who does not know in some way at some time the agony of conflict, and how are we to deal with it? How are we to find the grace of God in it and for it? Well, David's example gives us some wonderful hope.
All right, so let's turn to Scripture and see what God's Word has to say about this. We're in the book of 2 Samuel, really looking at chapters 13 through 18. As we continue the message, grow through your wounds. Here's Pastor Colin.
Something terrible happened in Absalom's family, but he spent the rest of his life hating, fighting, destroying, dividing God's kingdom. He lived with clenched fists. He was eaten up by a consuming desire for revenge. And all he did was take a personal plunge to disaster, leaving a trail of pain and brokenness in his wake. I read this story and been moved by how many times its pattern is repeated today. And I've asked the question, how then can you avoid Absalom's plunge to disaster? Now remember, none of us can avoid wounds. You can't go through life in this world without some kinds of wounds. Some people will hurt you. That will be one of the critical questions that will determine the outcome and impact of your life. Now, I know that we are talking here about one of the most sensitive issues that could ever be spoken of. But I want to offer three words of counsel for our wounds today. Here's the first. When you're wounded, make sure that you discern the enemy. When you're wounded, make sure that you discern the enemy. Now, if you had asked Absalom, who is the enemy? He would have had absolutely no hesitation about the answer. He would have said, well, of course, it's Amnon. Period. Things will be all right when we deal with Amnon. When Amnon leaves this company, when Amnon retires, when Amnon goes, when Amnon graduates, when I'm no longer in Amnon's class, it'll all be all right. Absalom's great mistake was that he pinned the problem exclusively on a person. And the problem is that if you believe that people are the problem, you'll never be done. You'll never be finished. Because as soon as you see it, you've dealt with or got away from or dispatched one person, you'll find yourself in a similar conflict with another. It's exactly what happened to Absalom. As soon as Amnon is gone, Absalom finds himself now in a conflict with David because he also had some responsibility in this whole thing. He did nothing about it. That's how it is. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on, unless you can properly discern the enemy. And that's where the New Testament gives us a critical piece of information. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is, Paul continues, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So when you think of your wounds, there's probably a face that comes to your mind straight away. And you say, he's my problem. She's my problem. And I'm saying to you from Ephesians in chapter 6, be more discerning about your enemy than that. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. The primary struggle in your life is not with a person. It is with the activity of your enemy through that person. And there is a world of a difference between these two things. And if you can once grasp that difference, it will be a wonderful help to you in growing through your wounds. Jesus did not teach his disciples to pray, Lord, deliver us from Caesar. Lord, deliver us from the Pharisees. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Lord, deliver us from, let's hear it loud, evil. That's your enemy. It may have been expressed in a person horribly, brutally. But the New Testament teaches us to discern more deeply. The heart of your problem is not with a particular person, but with the activity of your enemy through that person. And when you can see that distinction, it will begin to help you to move forward. Jesus speaks to us about praying for those who persecute you. It's one of the hardest things he ever asked us to do. But you remember he said that in the Sermon on the Mount, pray for those who persecute you. Now, we ask the question, of course, how on earth could you do that? How on earth could you pray for Amnon? Well, Absalom couldn't even say the guy's name without feeling sick. How could you pray for him after what he did? Only one way, if you discern the enemy. There are evil powers pulling the strings within Amnon's life. There's a spirit of lust that has terribly got hold of this man. That's where the problem lies. Amnon could be redeemed. He could be. The person who has wronged you is not the enemy. They wronged you because they are in the hands of the enemy. And that's why it's such a terrible thing. But if you could once see them as someone in the grip of an enemy, you might just find compassion within your heart. You might just see that what Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, is at least within conceivable reach by his grace and by the power of his Spirit. When you see the true enemy, you will begin to have compassion. And when you have compassion, you may begin to pray. And if when you are wounded, you pray, then God's grace triumphs in your soul. And your real enemy, whose ultimate aim, of course, is to fill your soul with poison so that you're double destroyed by this thing. He tumbles to defeat. And you will grow through your wounds. Could anyone have imagined such a thing? That you could grow through your wounds. I don't know how many times God has given me the great, great privilege of speaking to someone who's been deeply wounded. And you know the question that's most often asked, and it comes time and time again, is, how can I forgive? How can I forgive? And I'm increasingly persuaded that that may not be the primary question. Amnon never showed any sign of ownership. There was no repentance. Reconciliation was not even on the radar screen. The issue here was, how can I have compassion? How can I have compassion? The way you find compassion is when you discern the enemy.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled, Grow Through Your Wounds. It's part of a larger series called Deck Chairs in the Titanic. Well, if you've ever wanted to understand the entire storyline of the Bible, we would love to send you one of Pastor Colin's books called Open the Bible in 30 Days. In just 1 month, you'll get a great understanding of the entire Bible story and how it all fits together. And this book is our gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount to Unlocking the Bible this month. You can help us finish this year strong and receive, as a way of saying thanks, Open the Bible in 30 Days. Keep your gift online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253 or again, unlockingthebible.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Here's the second thing. Trust the king. Now, we can all understand Absalom's outrage. His own sister had been abused. Absalom's her big brother. He was a magnificent fellow. We know that from elsewhere in the story. He felt that he should have been able to protect her. Perhaps he felt guilty about how it could possibly have happened to his sister, and his guilt fueled his anger, and he felt he had, therefore, to deal with the situation. But that was a big mistake. For the task of dealing with Amnon belonged not to Absalom, but to the king. Now, there's a very important principle here that is one that protects us from the great dangers of vengeance. You see, God has established a chain of command in society, and we should be very thankful for it. This is where we are able to distinguish between justice and revenge. Romans in chapter 13 reminds us that everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. And he's talking about the civil authorities within a community. So when there is some great conflict, the first question is this an issue that can be rightly resolved by repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation? And if it's not, the question is, who then has God appointed to deal with this matter? If a crime is involved, God has appointed authorities to deal with the crime. This is what prevents us from descending into anarchy. It's one of the graces of God in human society. It keeps a man from pursuing his own vendetta. God has appointed a king. God has appointed authorities, structures within society. And it was the king's job to deal with the terrible abuse that took place. Absalom, don't take matters into your own hands, because that will leave you in a situation of vengeance. Absalom, go to the king. Now, of course, and you'll immediately twig to this, the problem in this situation was that the king didn't. He failed his responsibility. Look at verse 21 of 2 Samuel chapter 13. When the king David heard all this, that is the awful thing that happened to Tamar, he was furious. Furious, period. He didn't do anything. He got angry, but he did nothing. Amnon was never confronted or disciplined or charged or sentenced. The king failed to uphold justice. The reason, of course, for that, as you will guess, was very simple, that David suffered from a moral paralysis because of sin within his own life. He had also taken another man's wife. Absalom knew that, so he decided to take matters into his own hand. Now, here's the issue. God has established channels of authority in the world so that justice should be done and revenge should be prevented. What do you do when it doesn't work? What do you do if a court comes up with a ridiculous ruling? What do you do if you try and use the appropriate channels within your workplace and you don't get justice? What do you do if the dean at school makes a wrong ruling because he didn't get all the evidence? What do you do in any sphere of life where there is an injustice? And at the end of the due process that God has put in place, these processes actually, in this particular case, fail. What do you do then? Because this happens. It happens. The answer is, when the king fails, you trust the king. You notice capital K. King. You see, all authorities draw their authority from God. And when the king fails, when a human process fails, there is the king to whom you can look. He will never fail. He doesn't miss it when a sparrow falls. There may be a situation somewhere in your life where the truth was hidden, where justice was miscarried, where evidence was planted, where you were set up. And when that happens, if it does to you, you will long for justice. You will long for justice. And if you cannot get it, it will hurt you deeply. But I want to say to you that justice and vindication do not hang finally on the authorities that God has established, but ultimately on God himself. Getting justice today is important, but it's not all important. There is another day when justice will be done and truth will be known. Go to the king, Absalom. But if the king fails, trust the king. And here's the last thing, very briefly. Serve the wounded. What are you to do when there are deep wounds within your own life? You don't want them to go septic. They don't want the wound that's already painful to end up destroying you. So discern the enemy. Trust the king. And here's the last thing, serve the wounded. Now, you can't get this from our story because Absalom didn't do it. So we have to look for someone else who did. And in these last moments, I want us to look, of course, at our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't talk about this subject without talking about Jesus. There has never been a person so abused as Jesus Christ. Remember that. He was flogged just to keep people happy. When they were finished with him, his face was so disfigured that he was no longer recognizable. Finally, they nailed him to a cross, and they lifted him up to be crucified. I cannot think of a greater abuse that could be committed. And remember what Jesus did. He said, and this has us all in awe, I trust, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Now, how could he say that? Because he discerned the enemy, you see. They do not know what they're doing. There's another power at work that's far more dark, and it's being expressed within them. "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." And the courts failed him. If ever a court failed, my goodness. He went to King Herod. What a king. He just beheaded John the Baptist. He went before Pilate, the government entrusted with law and order in the land, and he brings out a bowl of water and washes his hands. And Peter writes these words about Jesus. When he suffered, he made no threats, but instead he trusted himself to him who judges justly. You see, what Jesus did when the king failed was he trusted the king. Now, what came out of that? Well, Peter goes on to explain. 1 Peter 2:24, he bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And then he says this, and by his wounds you have been healed. Think of that. By his wounds you have been healed. Blessing flows from his wounds. The greatest ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ flows from his wounds. Without those wounds, he would not be your Savior. It is by those wounds that you are healed. Now, obviously, there is a glorious uniqueness about our Lord Jesus Christ. Our wounds are nothing like his. But I want to suggest that there is still a principle here. Your wounds may be deep and they may be painful, but it may be from your wounds that God gives you your greatest ministry to the wounded. It may be from your wounds that God raises up your greatest ministry to the wounded. That's the way of Christ. Whoever would have thought that you could grow through your wounds? And that is precisely what God calls us to be.
Well, this is Pastor Colin. And as we come to apply the message today, I want to ask you, who is the person that you may have felt is the problem? That person that just is difficult in your life, irritates you, and that your mind goes to again and again and again. And the danger for you is that within your heart, you may become bitter towards that person. You may harbor animosity towards that person. And the Word of God is speaking by way of challenge to you directly about that person and your heart towards them today. Listen to the words of Jesus again. He says, now love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Prayer's the place to begin. Can you begin today to start praying for the blessing of God upon someone you find really difficult in your life? You will find it changes your heart, that it softens your spirit, that it enables you to reflect something of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ towards that person. It may be that you're in a situation where it's very difficult, but even there's a small beginning that can be made. Will you make that commitment to Christ today? Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. King David is a marvelous example of this, and our Lord Jesus Christ, in the way that he has treated us while we were still his enemies, is the one on whom we place our eyes and in whom we place our trust today. I'm so glad, Steve, that while we were still Christ's enemies, he loved us.
Absolutely. He loved us, and as Scripture says, he died for us. Maybe you want to be reminded of that incredible love that he has for us and how we can grow through our wounds as we turn our attention and our focus to him. Well, I want to encourage you to get a copy of this series, Deck Chairs in the Titanic, How to Avoid a Plunge to Disaster. If you want to order today's message or this 8-part series on CD, call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED or stop by our website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. Unlocking the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. The Bible tells a story about a father and a son who both heard the Word of God and had entirely different reactions to it. Find out why on the next Unlocking the Bible.